Got a email last night. I want to read to you from a former member here in Elmira, from Donna Wagner. I hear from her every once in a while. Happy Sabbath. How are you all doing? I miss everyone and New York. ... Springtime, exclamation point. Parentheses, fall and even winter too. Double parentheses. Double exclamation point. Miss church up there. 3-4 spaces. Special people. Homesick. Tell all up there hi. And her phone number if anybody wants to give her a call. Just recently, we went through the Passover and night to be, and we read a lot of scriptures and had them read to us by various speakers. In Exodus chapter 12, let's look at verses, Exodus chapter 12, verses 40, 41, and 42. Exodus 40, verse 40 of Exodus 12. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all of the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Up at the top of my page, the heading says in the King James, a night to remember. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. And we do that in the Passover season every year. It was interesting to me when I came across that, that at the top of the page it said, a night to remember. The title of my sermon, for those who like titles, is even the self same day. I started researching on the internet and I typed in 430 years. And there are so many things on the internet concerning the 430 years. I learned quite a lot of things, but almost everybody that talks about this in relation to the Exodus out of Egypt came up with 215 years and some other bunch of years and starting from this point and starting from that point, and it couldn't have happened then because how old, and they chased the genealogy of all the people involved and they can't come up with a number. Some of them do, but a totally different starting point than I think is applicable in the scripture. I didn't count the years, go through the generations, but I plan to. So I might have a different opinion on that, but my purpose today is to show some interesting points in the scriptures with regard to the self-same day. The definition of self-same day is the very same or identical. The very same day or identical. It's from a Hebrew word, etsem, E-T-S-E-M, it's 6106 in the Strong's Concordance, and it comes from 1605, which literally translates bone. Interesting, and there's a whole hour's worth of stuff you can chase off on the side of that. But it means strong. As in, your body is strong. Your bones are what makes your body strong. Figuratively, it means substance. The Power Bible program on the computers shows there are word etzem, translated self-same day, occurs 11 times in the scriptures. They spread out the 3 in Genesis, 3 in Exodus, 2 in Leviticus, and then a couple others scattered around. 9 of them are directly connected with Abraham, with the Passover, with unleavened bread. I'd like to begin today in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Something sunk into me that I had really never focused on when I was studying this and putting this together. Genesis is a book of beginnings. And a lot of the early parts of Genesis, of course, talks with creation of the earth and people and the flood and all that. But beginning in chapter 11 in Genesis, it talks about Abram and his calling, his father and his family, up through Genesis 25, where Abraham, his name was, had been changed to Abraham, and it doesn't talk about Abram or Abraham anymore. But in verse 20, or in chapter 25 through chapter 50, it talks about Abraham's descendants. And ending up way down the line when the descendants are blessed. But you go from 11 to 50, that's 39 chapters in the one book that's all talking about Abraham and what he did and what God promised him. And it was amazing to me because I knew it was there, but I never focused on how much was there because the stories intermingled. But let's begin reading in Genesis chapter 15 in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees, speaking to Abraham, to give you this land to inherit it. And Abraham said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? So he's asking God the question, how am I going to know this? And God said in verse 9, he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abraham took all of them, and he divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against the other, but the birds divided he not. Verse 11, when the fowls came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell on him. And God said to Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And this, and also that nation whom you shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. But you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age. And in the fourth generation, they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Sounds strange to us, but this was a covenant that began with a promise, and there was a covenant about God's promise and whether he was faithful. Covenants in that area of time were often agreed to or ratified by blood. Really, really serious covenants not all of them were agreed to this way, but this really serious covenants were agreed to by preparing a sacrifice, by cutting it in two, laying out the halves, and those making the agreement passed between the halves. They could do like one lamb or one goat or one whatever. And I don't know why God said three of lambs and three, you know, all the way down through so many. But they would lay the separated animal, and both parties, if Elijah and I were making a covenant, we would both pass between the halves of that sacrifice. And what that symbolized was that you were saying and committing to that sacrifice, if I don't fulfill my part, I'm agreeing to be cut in two, to be killed. And the other person is agreeing to the same thing. And it was a really, you know, we're going to do this and we're really going to be serious. This is what we're going to do. Saying, in effect, I agree to be cut in two if I don't keep my word. After passing through the carcasses were burned, which symbolized the acceptance that both of us passed through. We burned the carcasses. Elijah and I are going to agree to whatever the covenant was, 100%. In this instance, God himself was the only one that passed through the carcasses. He had several of them, Adam laid out, the birds eating the vine, but God passed through the pieces. God was totally serious in what he was promising in that particular covenant. But God was not holding Abraham and Abraham's descendants on down to us to that same standard that he held himself to. It was not to the same level of commitment. God is 100% totally committed to what he promised Abraham in that covenant. But God knew that the covenant would be kept on our part, especially by his grace. He knew that man could not keep their part. He knew he was going to. So he didn't hold man to that same standard, because he was going to work it through his grace and not by man's works. Notice that the sacrifice was in the afternoon. Where am I at? Am I in the right place? I'm not even in the right place. I am, but pretty close. Turn the page. Sorry about that. The sacrifices were laid out. Laid each piece one against the other, but the birds were not divided. In verse 12, and when the sun was going down, so it had to be in the daylight portion of the afternoon of that day, whatever day that was. And a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And darkness. In verse 13, it was a prophecy that your seed shall be in Egypt. In a land, don't say Egypt, in a land that's not there. And they shall afflict them for 400 years. So that kind of ties in with Exodus 12. Back up to Genesis 14, this part of the page back on my Bible. Genesis 14 and verse 18. And this is talking about Abram and Melchizedek after they had the battle over Lot being stolen and they went out against the people that had kidnapped Lot and his family and got it all back. And the king of Sodom, verse 17, went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's Vedea. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Ring any bells from what we've just been through? Bread and wine? It goes on down through talk about tithing and Abraham not taking anything. And there were no chapter breaks in the scrolls, but chapter 15 is where we were reading, and God is talking to Abraham, and Abraham is saying, what sign, or what? How will I know that you're going to give me all these things that you promised? It certainly, you know, as this scenario played out, and Abraham, or Abram at that time, was cast into a deep sleep, and then God came down and passed through the sacrifices. It certainly has at least the appearance of being a night to be remembered. It was special. Definitely was special from the promise of God and from Abraham's perspective. If you were there, divided these animals, went into a trance, sort of deep sleep, it would be a special night to you. You would remember that night. 430 years later, on the self-same day, the identical day, the Israelites came out of Egypt. They had had a Passover. The firstborn of Egypt were killed. The firstborn of the Israelites were saved alive as long as they marked the houses with blood on the lintel, the side posts of the door, and stayed in the house, they were saved. Abib 14, which was the Passover, in that coming out of Egypt, symbolizes the ratification of the promise by sacrifice. It's almost a copy of the ratification of God's promise to Abraham 430 years earlier on the self-same day. Kind of an interesting connection, I thought. Abib 15 symbolizes what the sacrifice accomplished by giving visible evidence of God's faithfulness in keeping His promise. He promised them they're going to go in there, they're going to be afflicted for 400 years, 430 years, and then we're going to bring them out, we're going to judge the people. 430 years, and God kept His promise. The New Testament, the night to be, marks the beginning of the physical promises that God was fulfilling to Israel and to Abraham that He had made years and years ago. The New Testament Passover, Christ's sacrifice for us, marks the beginning of the spiritual promise. So 430 years prior to coming out of Egypt, God promised physical blessings. The coming out of Egypt, God started, initiated, leading them to the physical blessings, to the promised land, and all that. Christ, when we observe the Passover, was pictured by this lamb that was shed, whose blood was shed to prevent the firstborn from being killed. And it leads us as the firstborn of God, after we're called, into the millennium, into the kingdom of God. So Christ's sacrifice marks the beginning of that spiritual promise. Couldn't happen until then, and then leads to the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. God's covenant with Abraham and Israel coming out of Egypt was the self-same day. Same date, 430 years apart. It was Abib 14th and 15th, the same as we now keep Passover. Christ's sacrifice, there have been a lot of questions over time, and I've read them and I've had them about why we keep the Passover on the evening of the 14th, which is instructed in Scripture, in Psalm 6, 7, 8, Scriptures that directly refer to the Sabbath. The date and time and method. But why was Christ killed in the afternoon? He was obviously killed in about the third hour in the afternoon, instead of the evening when the Passover lamb, and he was the true Passover lamb. But the Passover lamb coming out of Egypt was killed in the evening, about sunset, same as we keep the Passover today. It looks like to me fairly obvious that harkens back to the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 15. The sacrifice in that covenant was made in the daylight portion of the 14th. Let's look at some of the things that line up with the self-same day statement. Some similarities that connect all of these together. One of the first similarities is they were very, very major covenants. The covenant that God made concerning the physical promises to Abraham, they were fulfilled when Israel came out of Egypt, but the covenant of the firstborn was instituted at the time they came out of Egypt, of the protection, the setting apart of the firstborn. In the Christ sacrifice, the covenant of spiritual promise, three very major covenants: physical blessings, firstborn, and spiritual blessings. We saw by backing up a little bit into Genesis 14 that the first covenant started out with Melchizedek bringing bread and wine. There is not wine wine is not mentioned in the coming out of Egypt, but unleavened bread is. Exodus 12 and verse 8. It talks about you shall eat the lamb with unleavened bread. And of course, when Christ was sacrificed, he initiated eating unleavened bread and wine as a symbol of his body and blood. And we take that to this day. Darkness. Abraham, after the sun went down and became dark, there was darkness at that time. The darkness in Egypt did not come necessarily that way, but there was, the lamb was eaten after dark, and no one was allowed to go out of their house. But there was also darkness in the punishing of Egypt. It was one of the plagues. When Christ was crucified on the cross, the earth got dark. There was darkness on the face of the earth. Animal sacrifice. When Abraham sacrificed, there were multiple sacrifices. In Egypt, there was a lamb sacrificed. In Christ, of course, Christ was the true sacrifice. Shedding of blood happened at all three of those major covenant connecting points. It was a joyous occasion, a night to be remembered. With Abram and God, it was a covenant that God promised to give Abraham physical blessings that we have all inherited down through time as descendants. Israel, coming out of Egypt, they've been slaves for years and years and years. And they were becoming free and leaving Egypt with a high hand and great wealth. And we, coming through the Passover, realize that our sins have been forgiven. We are free, not from Egypt, but from sin. Fear. There was a fear factor. Abraham was terrified in the first incident of this. The Israelites obviously were fearful because they believed God put the blood on the doorpost, stayed in the house. They were fearful that the firstborn would die as God had promised if you don't do these things. Was there a fear factor when Jesus Christ was crucified? He prayed the night before fervently, if there's any way other that this can be done, let this cup pass from me. While he was hanging on the cross, he said, "Why have you forsaken me?" So he had a certain amount of fear. The fowls of the air that Abram chased away during the daytime after he laid the sacrifices out. Fowls, a lot of times in the scripture, are symbolic of demons. And he kept the demons away. I didn't find anything that really fit with that in the coming out of Egypt. But the people were taunting Christ, teasing him, harassing him when he was hanging on the cross. And I had read numerous places that other people felt that the demons were also present and taunting Christ, trying to get him to give up. Death was pledged. In the first instance, God said, you know, if I don't keep my promise, I agree, if it were possible. But he knew that he cannot lie, and he knew that he was not going to go back on his promise, so the death was pledged symbolically in passing through between the halves of the sacrifices. Death in the time of Moses and coming out of Egypt was prophesied on the firstborn. The firstborn of Egypt died. The firstborn of Israel lived. But there was death in that equation. And of course, when Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us, there was his death on the cross. A night to remember. In the first instance, it was the promise that God made to Abram that he would be a great nation and they would receive physical blessings. Coming out of Egypt, it was freedom and a promise of a fantastic physical blessing. The night to be remembered for us occurred because of a spiritual promise that we would be free from sin, that we would have an advocate with Jesus Christ, that we could come to him anytime we do sin, which we really need to strive not to do, because we need to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And this sacrifice of Jesus Christ, looking forward to the coming of the, and he promised that it would happen, but a giving of the Holy Spirit. So we have seen God's faithfulness in action, his promises. He keeps his promises. He keeps his word. Historically, even after 430 years, which to us seems like a long time, and much more, even now, helps us to build and strengthen our faith as the return of our Savior Jesus Christ draws near. Nonetheless, when Christ was on the earth, he said and asked the question, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" On the Sabbath and feast days, we're commanded to gather together as we're doing today. Primary purpose is to worship God and his Son, Jesus Christ, to focus on God, focus on his teaching, His plan and our part in it. The fellowship which we enjoy is a wonderful, wonderful side benefit. I'd like you to remember what Donna Wagner's comment was. We are a special people.